Anybody know where the podium is? I have no idea where it is. Praise the Lord. I didn't even think about looking for that. I just automatically assume it's right over there. Praise the Lord. God will feed you this morning. He will not leave you hungry if you want Him to. Amen. Because God is always ready and willing to give you what you need. But I'm going to need you to pray this morning for several reasons. One is because I am distracted. And not because of this, but I've got my own personal things going on. My mind feels very distracted this morning. And I just want to be nothing but, I just want to be used by God to share what He wants. And that's it. Because it's for me too. Amen. Because when I'm speaking, I'm talking to myself as well. And I don't want to waste God's time. Because God's time is precious. Bow your heads. Father, pray with me. Lord, feed us this morning. Lord, I know that You are the only God. You created everything. Lord, You are more powerful than anything, Lord. And we know that if You want to move, You can move, Lord. Help us to, right now as we pray, that they bind the hands of the enemy that might try to distract us, Lord, or keep me unfocused, or people listening and so forth. But feed us this morning because we need it. We are so desperate for Your truth. In the name of Jesus, amen. Title of this sermon is Protect That Precious Seed of Truth that God has given you. That life, I don't think I can say this more than, no matter how many times I say this, most of us know this to be true, but life is a battlefield. And Satan is going to put a lot of pressure on God's people. You're not going to be able to escape that. You know, as long as if you made a decision in your heart to be a servant of the Lord, He is going to put a lot of pressure on you. And the thing is, though, we need to be able to think right, have the right attitude under that pressure, because that's when people see what you're made of. People will make opinions, will form opinions about God based on how you act when you're under pressure more than any other time. Everybody realizes that when everything's going easy, things are going to appear easy. Even an unbeliever, when things are easy for them, they'll come across being joyful and everything's A-okay and everything's, they got it all together. It's when we're all, whether you be an unbeliever or not, when you're under pressure, is when where we're really at is seen. How do we handle pressure? And I have spent maybe three decades of my life distracted from distracted in such a way that imagine how God could have used me if I had not been so distracted in my life. When we're ministering, this is something that God has been conveying to me, is when you are ministering, I don't care what it is, when you are ministering, you are right in the middle of a live, spiritual, streaming moment to deposit a seed that might make a difference in a person's life. See, we always stand up here, or not up here, but whatever you're doing, we have a tendency in our minds to think about a person. We think about somebody getting up here and singing to millions of people on a stage, or somebody speaking to a huge crowd, or we got all these imagined things, because we all have pretty vivid imaginations in our society nowadays, because we have a lot of, you know, all these great technologies around us. And so we come up with these vivid things that seem just awesome, right? But we miss the moments that God really need you. Is that person okay? Okay, just checking. Okay. And the thing is, as a Christian, it's that live stream. I like to call it a live streaming moment, because on Facebook, when you do live Facebook, there's no fixing somebody in the background doing something goofy, is there? If something goes wrong on live Facebook, there it is. It's out there for everybody to see it. You can't take it back, can't stop it, because it's all in live time. That's what your life is. Your life is constantly a live stream, going, 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 going. And in that moment, our attitude needs to be consistent with Christ. We don't. If somebody's going to make their helper, just how about one person? It's okay, you know, because you know, we can call 911 if it gets serious. It's okay if they cough. There's nothing wrong with that. Unless a lung comes out, then we all need to stop and go back there and pray. I felt that way before. But we need to have a constant attitude of what Christ would do in a moment, even if we blow that moment. Because if Christ makes a mistake, what do you think he would do in the middle of that mistake? He's supposed to be the God of everything, right? He's even the God of those who blow it. What does that mean? That means no matter how big a mistake I make, he'll be ready to teach me. He can teach me. No matter how dumb I am, he can make me smart and help me move along. Amen. In Luke chapter 8, verse 11 through 15. Now the parable is this. I'm going to paraphrase some of this. Jesus was teaching his disciples and some people that were listening, and then he gets alone with the disciples because they want to know, what are you talking about? The seed of the sower. And then Jesus tells them, this is the truth being planted in people's hearts. And in verse 12, he talks about sometimes when the truth is planted in a person's heart, God or Satan will come along, use distractions, use things, and steal that from them, and they'll lose out. They don't become all that they can be. Verse 11, it says that sometimes a seed will fall on a person's heart. They'll get excited for God. They'll take off running to do things for God. And then, because they didn't nurture that seed, because they didn't let that seed grow some root, Satan is able to come again with distractions, steal from them. Then he talks about the cares of life, which is also distractions, comes along, the pleasures of life, the riches, all these things, steals again. And they're not able to grow into, they're not able to bring. Here I thought it was interesting in verse 14, it says, and they could not bring forth fruit. Isn't that interesting? The ones that fell on thorns and got choked out, the cares of life, the riches, the pleasure of life, and they couldn't bring forth fruit. Didn't say that they lost out with the word of God there. You know what I'm saying? I never caught that before. But there's four. But the third one, he didn't say they lost out with God, but he did say that they weren't able to bring forth fruit. And then the fifth one, he says, those who fall on good soil in their hearts, they're going to be honest. They're going to have a good heart. And they take the word of God and they keep it, which means they practice it, becomes part of who they are. They bring forth fruit with patience. Okay, now think about it. I just want you to think on what I just said. He's saying here that if I will receive the word of God in an honest way, with an honest heart. You know what that means? That means when someone's up here preaching, or someone's teaching me, or sometimes God will teach you through someone doing it the wrong way by telling you. I mean, we don't like the way people share things with us, but God uses different methods to teach us, to bring us the truth into our heart, to bring it to our attention. If you're being honest, you'll think about that information you just received, and you'll wonder, does it apply to me? Where does it fit in my heart? What should I do? Joe, do you really struggle with this? What's in my heart? I will honestly take a look and see. Okay, that's what he's talking about there. And if I understand, if I take the time to understand with an honest heart, Make an effort. Put some effort in there. Work on my attitude. Try to get in there and find the answers. If I don't have the answers, I'll find a way. Ask questions. Dig them out. Get some, not give up until God finally gives me what I need. Then I can bring forth fruit. Then it was talking. Now he did mention sometimes the cares of life might get in your way, and you might trip and stumble and fall. And I thought, well, what are those cares of life? Because things happen, don't they? Doesn't things happen in this life? We get frustrated. Got frustrated this morning. We get distracted. Now, if you get distracted, I forgot to write the scripture down, but you've all read this. But what happens when you get distracted? Then Satan can draw you away. When you're drawn away from what? Christ's thinking. When you're drawn away from the way Christ would think about something, in that moment, then you're most likely you're going to commit a sin. You're going to do something hurtful, in other words. But the thing is, so many times what goes on in our life, if we get a little bit of, I don't care how long you've been a Christian, every moment you got to be careful. Because sometimes Satan will work on us and try to trip us up. And sometimes he goes for the long haul. He'll kind of leave you alone for a while and you think everything's great. You don't realize he's depositing some landmines in your mind for weeks and months just to waiting for that one moment that you're distracted. And then you get down on yourself. And a lot of times what happens when we start to get down on ourselves, we get frustrated with where we're at. For a season, all of a sudden we don't have that on fire for Christ attitude about what we're doing. Now, don't raise your hands, but I bet you if some of you people that's in the worship band, I bet you not every time you come on Wednesday you feel like coming. I bet you that some of the times you get up here and you want to sing before the church, you probably feel like it's more of an obligation than it is a ministry. We all can say that in probably somewhere about our ministry at some point. What happened? Where's that on fire for God in the moment to minister? Because somewhere we got distracted. What are these things that distract us? What is this fruit that he's talking about? Because see, I feel like what Jesus was telling his disciples here, he actually was saying this. He's inspiring these scriptures I just read to you from tears in his eyes point of view. Because see, when he was talking about those that bring forth fruit and those who couldn't bring forth fruit, a fruit is someone you touched in that moment. Fruit is a person. I know that the Bible talks about fruits of spirit, but that's not what Jesus was talking about here. He was talking about they didn't bring forth fruit. He was talking about they weren't able to touch people's lives. They weren't able to touch a person in a way that God is able to work through you to them to start putting their life back together so they can start all over again, have a new, fresh start, to be different. And the world needs every one of us in here. He needs Patty. The world needs Esther. It needs Michael, Danielle. It needs Jimmy. He's Kathy. Needs you. Pointing you. Needs all of us. Every one of us. I can name names. Jim, Sue, all of us. People need us. But Jesus was warning us here. He says, he's given us a warning to be careful about that precious seed that God has planted in you. Everybody in this room has had truth planted in our hearts, which is your mind. It's precious. Sometimes we don't be careful. We get used to having that precious gift, and we lose that feeling of preciousness. When you've seen Jessica and Elijah up here getting married, the look in their eyes were just, they felt like each person, they felt each other was so valuable to them. Like Elijah felt like Jessica's valuable, and she felt the same thing with he. But how many times have we seen that? Then you jump forward 5 years, and that spark is gone. They don't have that same value toward each other. It happens a lot. happen. God has given us some truth in this church, and it's precious. A lot more. There's almost 8 billion people on the planet, and most people live miserable. Things are not easy for most people. I don't care if you look at CNN. I don't care if you look at Fox. I don't care what channel you look at. It's, you just walk out the door and take a look around. Almost nobody smiles anymore. Everybody's like, rrr. And everyone's, I like to mess with people. I'll be in a crowd, and I'll be like, you know, and people are like, they give me a smile, but it looks like it, like they're not, can't remember quite how to do it. Like, you know? Or you smile at them, they're like, wondering something wrong with the way they're looking. That, you know, they, you know, those people off. People, we can't get distracted, because see, if we get distracted in that moment, you might get drawn out. You might get drawn away from Christ's thinking in that moment, and the care of life might could just pull you away to where you're not there. You can't help to bring life to the fruit in a person's life right in that moment. Remember, our lives are streaming. You can't reverse it. It's always moving forward, and it's live. It's people that we touch that are our fruit in our lives that we're supposed to hand over to God. We're all supposed to have big baskets of fruit. And we're not all going to have the same amount. It depends on what God has called you to do, how much Satan has fought you. But you should have something to offer God. A tribute. People. Sometimes I've gotten that feeling of being worn out. Feeling like Satan's got me down. When I'm in that moment, I remind myself, no, wait a minute, people are counting on me. Even those I have not met is counting on me. To get back up and keep stepping forward, no matter how heavy or how hard things are. I'm not going to count on God being able to find someone else, because sometimes he can't. The scripture says so. In Ezekiel, I think it was, he said he searched the land in that generation to find anybody to stand in the gap so the land was not cursed. And God, I think he said that with a broken heart. He said, I could not find one. And the land went into darkness for many generations. Read on how dark things got during that generation and thereafter several. Solomon, God counted on Solomon. Solomon dropped the ball when he got older. But it said he did not follow all the ways of his father David. If you read the scriptures, I know that sometimes men like to blame it on those wives he had, but that's not what the scripture said. Scripture said he did not follow in all the ways. And one of the ways he didn't follow is he married unbelievers. That's why he fell. But God was counting on him. You know, when Solomon backslid and fell, do you see how many terrible kings came after him for Israel? See how horrible things happened to Israel for multiple generations? Solomon sold out all those generations that came after him. Israel stumbled and stumbled and stumbled for long hundreds of years. It didn't have to be that way. You need to ask yourself this morning, who might cross your path? I'm not talking about like what I see Christians focus on at times, and I know I joke around this stereotype, because it's kind of what we stereotypically get labeled as. But when we talk about, when everybody mentions ministry, a lot of times we think about handing out tracts, asking someone if they got saved. I'm not talking about that kind of ministry. I'm talking about ministering that actually impacts people. Really? How do you live your life? When you go to work, what's your attitude when you're at work? Are you the best employee you can be? Now, you might not be the best employee, but are you the best employee you can be? And people look at you and say, there's something different about that person. Not because they walk around so-called psychological billboard saying, I'm a Christian. They know you're something about you different because of the way that you are when there's pressure in the environment. That's what God needs. There's a lot of people with confessing God with their mouth, but the Bible, anybody says their heart is far from him. Sometimes cares of life can be many things. For me, sometimes it might be working really, really hard and then have to work and have to try and work after I get off work. But I'm doing it for the wrong reasons. You know that? Care of life could be you're doing something for God for the wrong reason. That's hard to believe. But sometimes as Christians, we don't always do what God needs us to do for Him. Because the Bible actually has warned us that if you do things, good works, but it's not for the reason, for the right reason, you're wasting your time. Now, I'm glad you're doing the good work, but still, what good does it do if you're not doing it to be in that moment to minister? It might be worrying about what everybody else is thinking of you so you don't ever become to your potential what you could do because you're too worried about what everybody... You might get up here and sing, and you're so worried about getting off tune that you can't tune in to letting the Holy Spirit flow through you, so then you can't really touch people. That can happen. I have missed a moment where I could have shared something with someone that would have made a difference in their life just because I was too nervous. And I was nervous because I was thinking of myself. Instead of thinking about, well, I wonder what they're feeling. I wonder what they're going through. If we're worried about other people, we're not going to notice things about ourselves. And we've all done this. We've all gone throughout the day talking, interacting, went to Walmart, did this, do that, and get home. So, oh, good Lord, there's something on my face. Has anybody done that besides me? You know, I ain't going to say what it was, but it was disgusting. But the thing was, did it change anything because I just now found out about it? No. But I went throughout my day. That's what we need to be constantly ready to minister at all times. I'm going to give you a few examples. I remember, I'm not going to get into the details, but I think this is a good example. Hope you don't mind. Two people I want to share. Get with me after church if I do. But I remember I was working in a particular restaurant, and it happened to be a restaurant that some of you worked in. And I remember Esther had asked to work on a shift that I was working on, and I thought, well, why would you work on the same shift I'm working on? I'm a jerk. I mean, I was a jerk back then. How many people agree with that? And I thought, she must have lost her mind because I'm a jerk. And she was going through some things, and I said, well, finally, I asked her one day, I don't know if you remember this, Esther. I said, why in the world do you want to work on the same shift? Because I couldn't understand why. Because someone, manager, told me, said, yeah, she asked to work on the same shift as you. Don't know why. I mean, they didn't know why either. Because they thought, of all the people, you don't need to work with him because he's such a mountain. And then Esther said, well, because I don't feel judged around you. I don't feel like you judge me. And that's all my point was, that's all I had to offer. Because it definitely wasn't kind words. It wasn't, because I was just joke around, smart aleck kind of person, you know. But, you know, what she was going through didn't mean anything to me. It's like, hey, you know, we all go through things. My point in that example was, right in that moment, you're focused on something other than yourself. God can use you, even when you have problems. My nemesis at the time, I was going through a lot of things, and I said at the time. Is that clear? At that time? Okay. I was going through a lot of things, and happened to be up really late working, and I kind of let that happen because I was so broke down in the way I felt emotionally and what I was going through. I just felt like I was at the end of my ropes, that I was working super late, and this person happened to be out jogging, and they happened to see some lights on in the place where I was working, and they happened to stop by and said God told them to come over there and talk to me. It was Naomi. As soon as she came in there, she said a few kind words to me, and I broke down and started crying. And in that moment, it ministered to me a lot. But if she would have been focused on our relationship being not very good and how I might respond to this and that, she could not have been there. And because no one else was even in a position to minister to me in that moment. I needed somebody because I said, God, I remember my prayer. I said, God, I feel like I'm just broke down. I just can't go any further. I don't know what I'm going to do. Show me something. Show me that you care. And then she walked through the door. That's kind of freaky, you know, because it's 1 o'clock in the morning. She, I don't know what she's doing jogging 1 o'clock in the morning, but that's a different story. Yeah, it was daylight. I didn't want to tell a story that takes all the drama out of it. It was in Alaska. During that time of year, the sun goes, don't go down. It just kind of goes like this and goes back up. But that was a live stream moment for me. And in that moment, God had a vessel that was overlooking the flaw between us, and they were able to minister. I'm sharing some of these examples because that's how important it is to be in that moment, to not be distracted, to be ready to minister. We are supposed to be Christ's ears, His eyes, His mouth to express Him. Ashley, you might be up here singing. And if you're focused on ministering, you may never know, because God don't always share everything with us, who in here, if it happens to be here, that you might actually touched. Because when God puts His anointing on you, it's no longer about the words. It's because there's an anointing that God puts on us that you may never be able to come up with the right words to touch a person's life. And sometimes it's just the letting that, just being available for God to flow through, and this person walk away, and they might not even know sure what you said or what you sang or what the song was, but they walk away different. It all depends on if you were in that moment ready to minister. And just because some of you have been here a long time, some of you have not been, none of that makes any difference. I mean, God wants to encourage you this morning. If we let too many moments pass through our fingers because we weren't ready to minister right when God needed us to be. We might be surprised someday on the other side when we graduate and then God lets us look at our life. He might show you all the different opportunities to minister to Him that you had before you, and you'd be surprised when they were. You might not even know. That person walks away going, because I know right now, I know some of us can think of it, but there's one person in my life that I might go talk to them, and they didn't really say anything to me about anything scripturally or any advice at all. But just because I got a chance to be around them, I'll say I walk away feeling better, feeling a little more vibrant. But that's the way I want people to feel about me, the Christ in me, is that they might come up and talk to me, not sure what just happened, but they feel really good. They're ready to take one more step. To be different, because the Holy Spirit can do things that words can't utter. The Bible talks about the Spirit wanting to come out, that even words can't share it, because it knows. Because our spirit can be, if we would just be in tune with God, our spirit was created to express Him. That's why He gave us His character to express it right in there. I felt like this morning God wanted us to be thinking about this, be chewing on this, be meditating about this week. When you leave those doors, be chewing on and meditating on it. Satan is going to hit some of you this week. He may have already started. He's going to use practical things to distract you because that's all he has to work with. But people are worth it. God would have not put so much effort into this creation if he did not think we were worth it. I mean, after all, think about it. We've all read it. Didn't God not say shortly after he created mankind, he regretted doing it? And he was going to kill us all. Now, sometimes I think people skip over that part. He said, I'm going to put them all out of the misery. I'm going to get rid of every one of them. I'm going to drown them. That's what he said. He intended he was not intending for any of us to be here. He said he was going to kill all of mankind because they're just all worthless. But because of one person that God happened to find that was willing to give it a shot, give it a try, then he touched seven more other people. I think it was eight altogether. Now, they were relatives. That doesn't mean anything, because isn't relatives the hardest people to minister to? So he must have been good. He was able to bring them in, and out of those 8 people, we're here today, 8 billion people. So that moment is precious. That was a precious moment that Noah grabbed onto the truth. He wasn't perfect, but he jumped in there anyway. So don't think that you're just so bad, not very good, talentless. you may be the pivotal point for all of us. So don't even count anybody out. For those of us that are thinking these things, don't even look at someone think they're the least, because what if the least of the person, because Noah was pretty much the least of the human race, wasn't he? Because God was going to get rid of everybody. And the very least person, God thought, I'll give him another chance. I'll give mankind another chance. I'm sure glad God found someone. All we have to do is this. Supply the wood, God supplies the fire inside you. So I'm talking about the fire in your heart. You're like, I ain't got no fire. Just bring the wood. God take care of the fire. Think about it. Anybody ever read the example of Elijah, where he was confronting the Baal God, and he said, throw some fire on there. And they're like, all right. You know, because they did all kinds of things all day long, cutting themselves and, you know, story. And he said, throw some fire on that wood. And that's all he said, told them to do. Or he said, that's all he did. He brought some wood, apparently, threw it on there. And then he got a little cocky because he said, throw some water on there. So they threw some water on there because he was expecting God to do something because he trusted in God that much. He goes, throw some more water on there. And instead they drowned it. I can't remember how many times, so bear with me. But it was like three or four, somewhere between four and seven. And then he said, he prayed and asked God, bring the fire. And so God, he brought the fire. He burnt the said he burned up all the fire, the water, and he burnt the bricks to stones, to the ground. There was nothing left. And it said all of Israel, or most of Israel, praised God. So if you're having trouble with him being on fire for God this morning, just bring the wood. And then step back and say, God, okay, I brought the wood. What's the wood? Your will. Your will is the wood, and God will be, the Holy Spirit is the fire. Just in that moment when you feel like you got nothing left, say, God, I ain't got nothing left except this, some wet, soggy wood. Seriously, talk to him. I talk to him all the time. If you talk to him, then you don't have to hear from me all the time. But bring, say, God, all I've got is some soggy attitude wood, but I'm going to throw it down there. And you said you did it for Elijah. You did it for Elijah, so do it for me. Get some fire on the wood, God, because I need it. Because my attitude stinks, or whatever it is. Yep. And God supplied the sacrifice. Okay, is there any questions? Comment?